It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This morning, the White House sent information from FBI interviews to the United States Senate. The additional background check into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh stemmed from allegations of sexual assault from several decades ago. Eugene Scott is a political reporter for The Washington Post. He joins us to talk about the latest in the Kavanaugh confirmation. Eugene, welcome to The Morning Show.
Thank you for having me.
The full Senate vote on the Kavanaugh nomination is in motion. What timeline do we have for when this vote could take place?
Well, it could happen by the end of the week. I mean, Mitch McConnell has made it clear that he wants to move forward with it as soon as possible. But right now, the Senate is reviewing the FBI report, and the White House is pretty much standing by to see what decisions are made from it.
So the Judiciary Committee announced yesterday that it had received the FBI's report. As you say, senators are looking at it. Do we know anything about this further background check that looked into the claims of sexual misconduct?
Well, we know that the White House is pretty confident, and there was some concern that the White House was more involved in the investigation than perhaps they should have been. But they, of course, have made it clear that they were not keeping the FBI from looking into the investigation at the level that the agency desired. They have reached out to at least 10 witnesses, according to the White House, and it sounds like no one has corroborated so far Christine Blasey Ford's account, but more details about what the report discovered have not been made clear yet to the press.
So who's allowed to have access to the information from this investigation at this point?
Well, right now we certainly know that the Senate Judiciary Committee would be able to have access. And as far as other senators looking at it, it's not yet clear how many of them will be able to review it this early. But certainly information will be likely shared with them as a decision to be made about Kavanaugh will be expected pretty soon.
Yeah, they certainly would be expected to be able to look at it before they have to vote.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that the White House is confident that there's that nothing in the interviews would put the confirmation at risk. Who did the FBI interview, and who didn't they interview?
Well, we know that many of the college roommates or fraternity brothers or associates of Kavanaugh who have gone public to the media and on social media about their observations of the nominee in college have also professed that they haven't been contacted by the FBI and that they have had trouble reaching out to the FBI themselves. And so there's some concerns about just how thorough the FBI investigation was. Details of who has been contacted have not been made as public yet, and we will know soon. We do know that there were 10 witnesses that were reached, 9 of them who were interviewed, and we know that none of them were corroborated for a story yet.
Mm-hmm. Eugene Scott is a political reporter for the Washington Post. We're talking about the latest developments in the Brett Kavanaugh nomination process in the United States Senate. U.S. Senators Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, and Lisa Murkowski are three Republicans who could stand in the way of the confirmation. Which senators could make or break Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court?
I think it's those, quite frankly. I mean, many eyes are on Jeff Flake, many eyes are on Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. They are the senators who have been less vocal about what it is that they will definitely do. But there certainly has been some interest recently in the positions of Ben Sasse from Nebraska. He hasn't been incredibly vocal during this entire process, but has expressed disappointment very recently. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the ones who spoke out against what the comments that President Trump made at a rally, and there were several other senators who weren't too happy with what President Trump had to say.
Indeed, I mean, he has very often been a critic of the president when it comes to demeanor and behavior and tone and morale. whether that will translate into him not supporting Kavanaugh's ascension to the bench is not yet clear.
Okay. Of course, this morning, the lawmakers are getting their first look at the FBI's findings. What would these senators that we just mentioned, what would they need to see in order to either vote no or to be confident in voting yes?
Well, we've seen both Jeff Flake and I believe Susan Collins say that if it has become clear that Kavanaugh lied under oath, that would be disqualifying for them. And so if this investigation revealed something suggesting that he was not truthful, despite repeatedly insisting that he has been, based on what the lawmakers previously said, we could expect them to vote against him. Whether they'd follow through with that or not is not yet clear, but perjury definitely seems to be an interest topic to not only them, but people who are watching the whole incident closely.
And as we alluded to just a moment ago, at a rally on Tuesday, President Donald Trump mocked Christine Blasey Ford, who accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault while they were teens. Do you think this is going to have any impact on whether the Senate votes to confirm Kavanaugh or not?
I don't think it will have as big of an impact as maybe some on the left are hoping. It's important to remember that it is Trump who mocked Ford, not Kavanaugh. And so while they would be frustrated with how insensitive they believe the president has been in handling this situation, I don't think they would use that example as reason alone to keep Kavanaugh from the bench.
Assault allegations aside, how could the comments that Judge Kavanaugh made and the tone that he took in front of the Judiciary Committee last week affect his chances to be seated on the high court?
Well, for lawmakers who really are looking for the Supreme Court to remain a part of our checks and balances, this could further the belief that Kavanaugh would not be one of those people to honor that tradition. There was concern even before his testimony that he would not be as objective as we would want a judge to be based on previous writings and sayings of his related to Trump and, you know, the potential consequences of an investigation. But his attacking people affiliated with the Clintons and the Clintons themselves and people who just did not want Trump in office really did raise red flags, obviously, for lawmakers on the left, but those on the right as well.
What did you notice about what the judge said when being asked about sexual assault?
The defensiveness, I think, was most noticeable. And I think many people would say you would respond in the exact same way if you were such falsely accused of a similar crime. But I think the expectations that we have of justice is the temperament, the response to just very difficult situations was not there. And I think he understood that as well, which is why when he came back into the chamber after a brief break, he apologized to Senator Klobuchar because I think he was aware that his demeanor was not what he wanted to project in this entire situation.
Eugene Scott, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Eugene Scott is a political reporter for The Washington Post. Coming up next, Wisconsin makes some really cool things, and we'll talk about a friendly rivalry among companies and discuss the greater state of manufacturing in Wisconsin. That's all coming up on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We make a lot of cool things in Wisconsin, and now there's a contest to determine which is the coolest. The coolest thing made in Wisconsin, put on by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, is in its third year, and it gives people the ability to vote for which thing made in our state is the coolest. We'll find out how the contest got started, the kinds of things entered, and who the finalists are. for this year's program. What do you think are some of the coolest things made in Wisconsin that we might not know about? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
So the WMC is holding a competition for the coolest thing made in the Badger State. So before we talk about the finalists, tell us what this competition is all about.
Sure. Well, this contest, as you said, we're in our third year, and we partnered with Johnson Financial Group on this program a few years ago, really, as you said, to find the coolest thing that is made in Wisconsin. And we've had so much fun with this contest. There are so many different things that are made in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, we really have a vibrant and amazing manufacturing sector in our state, and we just want to get everyone from Superior to Kenosha, you know, Milwaukee to Platteville, just every single different part of our state. We want to know, you know, what's made there. What are all these folks who work in manufacturing and different industries making in our state? And it's a really fun contest, gets people involved all around Wisconsin. And so far this year, we've had over 150,000 votes. We had about 160 nominees. And it's just been a great contest. And we, again, really, really big thanks to Johnson Financial Group for helping us put this on.
So how does the nomination process work?
So we started all the way back in August, actually reaching out to folks and trying to get them to, just say, you know, what is made in your hometown? You know, where do you work? What do you make at your job? And folks could go to madeinwis.com and nominate literally anything that is made here in Wisconsin. As I said, we got about 160 nominees, and those were from every corner of the state. And once we got past that nomination period and got into September, then we actually started the voting process.
So let's define the term cool. What do we mean by cool here?
Oh, I mean, if you look at the 160 nominees that we had this past year, there are so many different things, whether we're talking about custom food carts that are built up in St. Germain, Wisconsin, custom yachts that are built in Manitowoc. Here in the Madison area, one of our finalists, we have CC Moo that makes medically adaptive clothing for kids who need feeding tubes. I mean, there's so many cool things made across the state of Wisconsin. If you look to the past 2 years, we had Oshkosh Corporation won last year with their Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, one of the military vehicles that they build for the military. And then we had the year before Harley-Davidson and their Milwaukee 8 engine for their motorcycles. So we really do make some cool things in Wisconsin.
What is the most unusual thing that you've seen nominated so far? I mean, I just was looking at some of this stuff and I thought, wow, you know, that's really, I had no idea we were making that.
You know, because there's 160, it's hard to really pick just one out. I would say some of the more interesting ones that I thought is we have a few folks in Wisconsin who are amazing metal fabricators. There's some really great artwork and things that are made. As I mentioned earlier, those food trucks that are made up in St. Germain by Caged Crow Fabrication, they take old school buses, old Winnebago trailers or anything like that, and they make it into these food trucks. I think one that they're actually making right now is going off to New York to help foster kids actually learn how to cook. So it's a program that they're doing out there, and they're building the kitchen. It's a mobile kitchen for them. But also things that I had no idea before we started this contest. Philadelphia cream cheese is actually made in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, and none of it's made in Philadelphia. So I think there's a lot of things that maybe you don't really think about that you might use every day. That is made right here in the Badger State.
The world is full of irony. And I noticed that it's not, when we say the definition of manufacturing may get a little bit of wiggle room here, because there were baked goods, there was at least one beverage, and so, you know, it's not just something that you would make in a factory.
No, we're not just talking about machinery or metal fabrication here. I mean, we really want to see what is the coolest thing made here, and so one of our finalists is Uncle Mike's Bake Shop. They make a sea salt caramel pecan kringle. They have a few locations up in the Green Bay area. If you ever have a chance, go there and get some. It's absolutely phenomenal, and you will not be disappointed. But also, as you mentioned, we had some other food and drink products. Obviously, a lot of breweries around Wisconsin that were involved in this contest. And then we also had Claire Brune sparkling water. They had a new flavor, Bucky's Cherry Berry, which they were kind enough to drop off at the WMC offices over the last couple of weeks. And it tastes really great, and obviously a really good option if you're trying to get away from soda a little bit. You know, that sparkling water has some great flavor.
Well, Sarah Hopeful, one of our producers, is a big fan of that sparkling water, so she was pretty excited to see that on the list.
I say I should have brought a few over.
And some of that Kringle, too, although it wouldn't have done me any good in Superior, but that's okay. I'm trying to cut down on Kringle. This is maybe a touchy question, but being that it's Wisconsin, for people who've never experienced the state pastry, what is Kringle?
So there's actually a little bit of an argument here, because Uncle Mike's, they use a specific definition for Kringle that may be different than our folks who are down in the Racine area. So typically you have the more oval-shaped, really thin pastry that has some fruit or pecans or something on the inside with a little bit of frosting on top. Uncle Mike's, which is, as I said, up in the Green Bay area, they go all out. They make it in a pretzel shape. And so that goes back to some of the more European-style Kringles that that were made hundreds of years ago. And it's a little bit bigger. It has a little bit more filling inside and some more frosting and stuff. So there's a little bit of a debate between the folks who make Kringle on what is real Kringle. But both of them are the state pastry.
Okay. And again, you know, I mean, it's interesting that a bake shop became a finalist. And so your definition of manufacturing is it's made in Wisconsin then.
Exactly, and we're looking to folks all across the state. I mean, obviously we have a lot of food manufacturing that goes on in Wisconsin, and so while Uncle Mike's might be a smaller company, you know, they're obviously making a lot of Kringle up in the Green Bay area, but also you can look to folks like Sargento over in Plymouth, Wisconsin. They make a crazy amount of cheese there, and last year they were actually one of our top 16. With their balanced breaks, which are small little snack packs that you can have with cheese and nuts and some dried fruit. And so, you know, there's when you think of manufacturing, there's such a vibrancy and diversity out there in the state of Wisconsin. And it's really, I mean, we make so many different things. This is what this contest is all about.
We're talking with Nick Novak, the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, about the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. The next group we want to talk about is CC Moo LLC in Stoughton. Tell us about this manufacturer.
So this is actually just a really great story about a family who had a newborn and realized that because of some medical issues that he was born with, he was not able to eat like the rest of us would and needed a feeding tube. And so one of the issues that you run into with a small child who needs a feeding tube is that you have to feed them every hour. You have to put this tube into a small area next to their stomach, and you have to undress them to get everything put together. And if they're sleeping, it really interrupts their sleeping pattern. So this family right out in Stoughton, they came up with this medically adaptive clothing. It has a small little zipper right on the side of the onesie, makes it so much easier. That way the kid can continue sleeping, and it's really helping a whole lot of families throughout the country, and obviously helped out this family quite a bit. So we have been announcing each round as we've been going on. We've been announcing these on the WMC Facebook page on via Facebook Live. And Kurt Bauer, our president and CEO, he's been saying every single time they move on that necessity is the mother of all invention, and this is definitely true in this case. And obviously, a really great product that's helping a lot of families throughout Wisconsin.
What are the what criteria do you need to meet in order to be entered into this competition?
So it's a very simple contest. We really just ask that A, the product is made here. So the company, it doesn't need to be headquartered in Wisconsin, but we do want to have the product that is nominated to be physically made in the state of Wisconsin. So for instance, John Deere, which we'll talk about in just a second, their headquarters is not in the state of Wisconsin, but they have a great manufacturing presence here in Horicon, where they make the John Deere Gator. So as long as the product's made here, you qualify for the contest.
Okay, well, we're going to continue. We've got two more items of the final four to go here, and we're going to continue this discussion. And what do you think the coolest thing is made here in Wisconsin? And have you voted in this contest? I did. I'm not telling what I voted for, but I did vote. You can do, too, if you choose to do so, and we'll tell you how to do that and more as we continue our discussion here on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. What's the coolest thing made in Wisconsin? Well, that's not just a question, it's a contest put on by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Johnson Financial Group. Do you work in manufacturing? Did it bring you to Wisconsin? Why? What do you want people to understand about what you do? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and he joins us for this discussion. Okay, we've gone through half of the four finalists for this contest, and Nick, you said so far more than 150,000 votes have been cast to get us to this point?
Yeah, we had a very, very popular contest so far. A lot of folks are getting really excited about the contest, and we've already had thousands of votes in this final round as well. So, yeah, we're over 150,000 votes total, and we're inching closer and closer to that 200,000 mark every day here. So we're really glad that people are getting into this contest. For anyone who wants to vote, they can do so until Tuesday, October 9th. So that's this coming Tuesday at 12 noon, and they can go to madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com, and just take a look at the four finalists. It's a simple popular vote. Pick whichever one you think is the coolest, and you can vote once per day for device. So on your computer, on your iPhone, anywhere, you know, public library, you know, wherever you can get onto the internet there, please feel free to go to madeinwis.com and cast your vote for what you think is the coolest thing made in Wisconsin.
So far we've talked about a Kringle made here in Wisconsin and some adaptive clothing. That's a very clever piece of invention that's made here in Wisconsin. Next, we have something from John Deere in Horicon. Tell us what they've been nominated for.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of cool. This year we had the last couple of years, I think some of the finalists and winners have been brands that people throughout Wisconsin might really know. This year our four finalists, you know, I think John Deere is probably the one company that folks may really know and you know, recognize when they see that logo, whereas the other three maybe they're less familiar with. But John Deere up in Horicon, they have their Horicon Works facility, and they make a variety of different things there, from lawn tractors to their Gator XUV utility vehicle. And so the Gator is what is in the top four this year for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin contest. Like I said, built right up in Horicon. And not only is this a really cool vehicle, great for folks who, you know, work in agriculture, or maybe if you're going hunting, or maybe if you're just up north and want to cruise around the trails, it's a really fun vehicle. But the way that they build this is actually really really cool too. The John Deere factory in Horicon, they have actual robots that have learned the floor plan of the factory and drive around with the utility vehicles on them as they're being assembled and manufactured. And so instead of having maybe what you think of an old assembly line might look like, this is a big, bright, clean floor, clean area for the manufacturing space. And literally robots are just driving this gator around as it's being built.
Well, just so robots don't start making Kringle, because I think that would just be... That would be wrong. We don't mind if they make other stuff, but we don't want them to make our Kringle, I don't think. Well, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here. So that's sounds like a really interesting vehicle. And if you've, gators have been around for a while. And
fun fact, actually, they're 25th year of production right now.
Yeah, 25 years. Wow, that's cool. So the final finalist, or the fourth finalist for the state's coolest product this year is Cardiac Science Corporation in Deerfield. What is it that they've entered?
So they have the PowerHeart G5 AED. So this is probably a machine that folks maybe have heard of or maybe have seen when they're out at stores or restaurants or anything like that, but maybe don't think about every day. An AED machine is actually something that if you go into sudden cardiac arrest or have a heart attack, it's something that can save your life. So this is similar to when you call 911 and the paramedics come. If you're having cardiac arrest, They put those paddles on you and shock you back to life. This is something that anybody can use. Cardiac Science Corporation and their PowerHeart G5 AED is extremely simple. It actually tells you exactly what you're supposed to do if someone does go into cardiac arrest and there's an emergency situation. So whether you're a kid or an adult, you can use it, and it comes in multiple different languages, and it's actually sold all around the world. And so this is a life-saving product that is made right here in the state of Wisconsin, and just a really great company, have with a high-tech product that we think is a really great to have. And actually, a little side note, as a part of WMC and our WMC Foundation, we have the Wisconsin Safety Council, which does safety training and sells safety products. One of the products that they sell is actually the Cardiac Science Corporation AED. So for manufacturers or other companies throughout the state, if they're wanting to make sure that they're fully prepared for an emergency situation, they can make sure that they have these AEDs on their premises. So in case anything ever goes wrong with one of their employees, they can be right there to save their life.
Well, maybe they could mount them on robots, and then the robots could just, take them around. I don't know. Maybe a little far-fetched. I read way too much science fiction. So there we have it. The final four manufacturers have been chosen after more than 150,000 votes have been cast. So what's the next step in the competition?
So we are coming right to the end here. We are we're getting really excited. On Tuesday, we're going to announce a winner. So actually, for folks who want to see live who the winner is, we're going to be announcing that on Tuesday at our State of Wisconsin Business and Industry Luncheon. That'll be in Madison at the Monona Terrace. Folks can go to WMC.org if they want to get tickets to that to see who is the coolest thing made in Wisconsin winner live. Voting will end around noon, so that's actually during the event. And so I'm sure there'll be some lobbying going on from the companies to make sure they're getting all those final votes in. And then as soon as the voting closes, about 45 minutes later, we will announce the winner live on stage. So it's we're getting pretty excited about it. And hopefully we'll have a lot of folks who are continuing to vote until Tuesday.
What does the winner get?
The winner gets bragging rights. I mean, this is simply a contest to highlight manufacturing in Wisconsin. Right now, we're in the month of October, which Governor Scott Walker has proclaimed as Manufacturing Month in Wisconsin. So we're highlighting our manufacturing industry all month long. That includes crowning the winner of the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. And in addition to bragging rights, they get a really, really cool trophy. We actually had EK Machine and EFCO Finishing. They put together our trophy this year, the third year in a row, and it is just absolutely beautiful. It's an obelisk that is a steel that they've actually shined up. You can see a reflection in it, and it's something that I think whoever the winner is will be really proud to display at their facility.
Well, it's good to know that the trophy was made in Wisconsin, too. That's,
oh, yes. Everything about this contest is made in Wisconsin. Even the ice sculpture that we'll have at our event, that you know, is probably a pretty cool product, also made right here in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Nick Novak, the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, about the contest known as the What's the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin. We've identified the four finalists. You can go and vote. And I am going to speak out of turn for our producers here and say that we put a link to the website where you can cast your vote someplace at WPR.org or on our Facebook page. It'll show up there probably with the program notes for this hour, but somebody else will take care of that. Oh, we'll make it happen. See, that's what I love about the crew here. Lots of products were nominated. Not all of them made the cut, obviously. What are some other unique things made in Wisconsin that didn't make the cut this year?
Well, I think we've talked about quite a few of them already, but you know, just to name a few more, we had a generator that is made by Generac in Waukesha that actually is a home generator. It's Wi-Fi connected, so if anything goes wrong, it can automatically turn on and ensure your house is still being powered. And, you know, if there's, you know, flooding or anything like we've recently had, it can make sure that your sump pump is still running. You know, so that's obviously a really great product. If you look over into Milwaukee, there's Briggs & Stratton. They had a lawnmower and some other products that they had submitted for the contest this year. I mean, yeah, there are hundreds of things that were nominated, but this is just a small portion. I mean, if you go to madeinwis.com, you'll be able to see all the nominees. We'll be putting those up there on the website shortly, and once we get the final winner here. But of the 160 nominees, that's just a small portion of all the things that are made in Wisconsin. We actually have about 9,400 manufacturers all throughout the state. So this contest could grow even more than just those 160 nominees. So hopefully next year we'll get to see even more products.
Well, if you'll divulge it, what to you is one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin?
Well, I have to stay, as impartial as possible here. So I think all the nominees that were put together, I know this is a non-answer, but all the products that are out there are really great. I think our final four is a really strong final four. They each have their strengths and are obviously completely different products when you look at them. I think I might be a little bit impartial to John Deere. You know, they have a product that I might want to take up on the trails up by our cabin up in northern Wisconsin, but I'm also partial to the AED machine and the Kringle's pretty good, and CC Moo has a great story and has a great product. So, it's just really hard to choose. So I guess we're gonna have to let the voters decide at madeinwis.com.
Well, and it is. I looked at it and I said, gosh, this is very difficult because these are all such interesting things. Wisconsin, of course, has long been known for its manufacturing and. Tell us just how important manufacturing is to this state.
Well, manufacturing, I mean, it's our heritage here in Wisconsin. I think if you look back at our history, manufacturing is one of the biggest things that we have here. Obviously, agriculture as well, but manufacturing, we make $59 billion worth of products here in the state. That's about 20% of the state's GDP. So it's a huge, important part of our state.
We are going to continue our discussion about manufacturing in the state of Wisconsin and invite you to join us. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, Wisconsin has long been known for manufacturing, and as a way to recognize all the cool things we make here in the Badger State, the WMC has created a contest called What's the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin? And we're talking about that this hour on The Morning Show. What do you think is the coolest thing made in Wisconsin? If you work in manufacturing, let us know what kind of manufacturing do you do and why do you think it's meaningful here in the state? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. 1234, ideas at WPR.org is the email, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is with us. He's the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Okay, so we have been talking about this really cool contest, but manufacturing is a serious thing here in Wisconsin. It's a huge driver of the state's economy, as we've heard often. And so we need workers here in the state to take these manufacturing jobs. What kinds of education are critical for Wisconsin's manufacturers to make all these cool things and stay relevant as technology keeps shifting?
Well, I think that's something that we've been talking a lot about lately at WMC, and I know a lot of other folks in Wisconsin have been highlighting it, is you know, what types of education do you need? The tech college programs that we have here in the state, the apprenticeship programs that we have here in the state, those are a huge part of making sure that you know, young people coming out of high school or anyone else who maybe is looking for a career change or maybe is moving to Wisconsin, those are great programs that are helping to get folks into the manufacturing sector. As I said before the break, of every $5 that our Wisconsin economy produces, $1 of that is from manufacturing. And so there's a lot of opportunity here. Over 9,000 manufacturers throughout the state, about 470,000 people in Wisconsin work in manufacturing. So that's obviously a lot of jobs and a lot of great careers that are available out there. And the tech colleges, as I mentioned, they're doing a great job of preparing students for the careers that we have. But I'll also say that our UW system and our private colleges and universities, you know, manufacturing is more than just the folks who are maybe working in the facility building the actual product. You know, you need folks who are engineers, who are designing some of the products that we make here. I was actually at a manufacturer in the Milwaukee area a few weeks ago, Husco, which some people may have heard of. They actually build parts for auto manufacturers all across the world, and they not only design all of the parts that they make for these car manufacturers, but they actually design the machines that help to build the parts. And so, you know, there's so much that goes into manufacturing, and so I mean, really, all levels of education are important. But right now, I think tech colleges and some of those, you know, maybe non-4-year programs are really getting a lot of folks interested in there, because manufacturing pays better than the average job here in the state of Wisconsin, and there's so much opportunity. Manufacturing is only growing in the state. We actually added more manufacturing jobs last year than 48 other states, and so it's a growing industry. It's definitely our heritage. Manufacturing is a huge part of it, but I think the future of Wisconsin and our economy, manufacturing is going to continue to play a really big role.
Well, and you know, there's a lot about manufacturing that people don't know in this state. For example, that one of the industries in Wisconsin is found almost nowhere else in the world, and that is a company in Ashland that makes a machine that folds napkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, and as I said, you need to have the folks who not only know how to make the final products, but you need the people who are designing that machine that folds those napkins. So it's a interesting industry.
And we had a caller who couldn't stay with us who said, don't forget about pool cues. We have there's a manufacturing company, I believe, in Kaukauna that does that. There's another one up north, I think, in Hagen. So, I mean, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that we make here that we don't really think about very much. One of the concerns in manufacturing is how vulnerable jobs are to automation. How are you seeing this play out in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that's a fear that a lot of people have, and I honestly have to think that it's a little bit of an unfounded fear, because while yes, there is a lot of automation that is happening in manufacturing, and there's a lot of technology that is going on in manufacturing right now, it's actually the opposite impact that we're having. So as I mentioned, in the last year, we've added more manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin than 48 other states, and the reason for that is because we have have so much opportunity here. That automation that we're seeing is actually creating more jobs. So yes, maybe someone who was working in a position that that could be automated, now that person can be retrained to learn how to run that robot that is moving one piece, from one piece of the area to the next. And so, there's new opportunities that are happening because of automation. Someone needs to design that robot. Someone needs to build that robot. We're actually going to be at Rockwell Automation tomorrow in Milwaukee. They're a company that helps other manufacturers to put automation into their manufacturing facilities, and they're actually just announced they're bringing more manufacturing jobs back to the city of Milwaukee, and they're actually also doing a program that is training veterans of our military to go into advanced manufacturing. So automation is creating new opportunity, and it's also changing what manufacturing is. Folks 30 years ago, they probably thought manufacturing was dumb, dirty, and dangerous, and that's just not the case anymore. Now if you look at manufacturing, it's high tech, it's high skill, and it's high pay. Manufacturing jobs pay about $57,000 a year, and that's about 20% higher than the average for all private sector workers in our state. So it's a great career opportunity for any young people today, who are trying to figure out, do I go to a four-year college? Do I go to a tech school? What are the job opportunities? Manufacturing is definitely a great option for them to consider, and I definitely suggest going into the industry.
Let's take a call here. Don is with us from Muskego. Don, go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It's great to hear you guys talking about manufacturing. I've been working in manufacturing for the last 12 years myself. It's a very lucrative field. It's needed. And now I work for a distribution company, and I go into 100 different customers throughout my day. Well, not each day, anyway. And everyone's complaint is they can't find qualified workers to make these parts. And I think, from my experience, high school did not push manufacturing. They pushed four-year degrees and sports. Okay. And it's sickening how much they spent on sports and not on machines and
Don, I got to let you go because I want to give Nick a chance to respond. Were manufacturers struggling to find qualified workers in Wisconsin?
Manufacturers and all businesses really in Wisconsin are struggling. Our most recent survey that we did showed business leaders in Wisconsin showed that about 75%, actually a little bit more than three quarters of employers in the state are struggling to find workers, and a huge chunk of that is in the manufacturing industry. And Don, I think he brought up a really valid point that for a while, manufacturing maybe wasn't seen as a viable career option, and a lot of folks were pushing those four-year degrees. I'll say that we have a great relationship with the K-12 schools in Wisconsin and the tech colleges, and I really think that teachers and school counselors and parents hopefully are understanding that manufacturing is a viable option for young kids today, and that it shouldn't be seen as that, if you can't do this, I guess you can just go into manufacturing. Now it's seen as, oh no, you should go into manufacturing. That should be a number one pick for you, because it's a very lucrative career. It pays well. And one of the biggest things, I think we hear a lot about student debt nowadays. Most folks who go into manufacturing, whether it be through the tech college or through an apprenticeship program, they are graduating with basically zero debt, and actually finding jobs that are, as I said, paying more than the average for all private sector workers here. So it's a really terrific opportunity, and I think that it's good to see so many high schools starting to really embrace it and get folks prepared for the jobs that we have available in Wisconsin.
All right. Remind us quickly one more time where people can learn more about the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition and cast their vote.
Sure. So voting goes until Tuesday, October 9th at 12 noon, and they can go to madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com. We're so excited that folks are going to figure out what the coolest thing is, and we'll be announcing that live on Tuesday around 12:45. So,
okay. And the morning show crew has put the link up, and you can go to WPR.org and find it. Nick Novak, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, appreciate it, John.
Nick Novak is Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.